Proverbs chapter number 9, we'll begin with verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom hath built her house. She hath hewed out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath furnished her table. She hath set forth her maidens. She carrieth upon the high places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she cometh to him. Come, eat of my bread, and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live. I go in the way of understanding. He reproveth a scorner, and getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man, getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he shall increase in learning. Verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So let's pray, and we'll start our study on chapter number 9. Father, thank you now for tonight. We ask that you simply bless this truth. Give wisdom, understanding, make my words clear, precise. Give me clarity of thought and mind as I teach your people. For we ask it in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are about to sum up the first section of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is divided basically into 3 sections. The first section ends here. When we first looked at the book of Proverbs, we saw an introduction. We took time and we learned what the words meant and what God was looking for. And this section is where the father speaks to his son. As we end chapter 9, we'll be leaving that portion of the book of Proverbs that's written in this format, where it's a father sitting down with his child and telling him the things that he has to have. We've looked over in chapter 8 and we've seen a union suddenly form. We've seen a union between wisdom and understanding. The Bible calls it a she. She and wisdom and understanding together. Now, wisdom is looking at life from God's perspective, looking at ourselves and others through the proper light that God wants us to look through. And then understanding is accepting it, understanding it, and applying it to our life. What? Wisdom. God's perspective. God's view. God's opinion. The world has its own wisdom. But God's wisdom and the world's wisdom isn't the same. We already know how the world behaves. We've been in the world. We are saved out of the world. We are not in the world. We dwell on this world, but we're not in this world because we're not of it anymore. We are now of Jesus Christ. So he's teaching us to think differently. And now in chapter number 9, we see, if you will, a contrast between wisdom and understanding being married together, and then the foolish woman or foolishness, the way or the wisdom of the world. We see a contrast in chapter number 9. Notice the wise woman. We're going to talk about her first. Wise woman is covered from verse 1 to verse number 12. Look at verse number 10. We'll finish reading through verse number 12. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, thy days are shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scorn, thou alone shalt bear it. And so, we see a summing up now of the wisdom of God and a comparison that God's giving it. So, if we notice number of verses 1 and 2, we see a wrapping up of the foundation that God's given to us. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewed out her 7 pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. So here we're seeing a wrap up. We're seeing everything being brought together. She, meaning wisdom and understanding, being put together. She set everything in order. Her 7 pillars are the foundation. That's talking about the foundation. What is the foundation of wisdom? the fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom and understanding come from. But He's given us foundations here all through these chapters for us to learn about the foundations of wisdom. It's important that we have a good foundation. Our life, there's a song we sing with our kids. If you like, build on the rock or build on the sand. Talking about the different foundations. If you build your house upon the sand, the storms of life come and wash your foundation away, and you fall. But if you build your house upon the rock is Jesus. We build our foundation upon the rock, then we have a great foundation. Well, that seven pillars is a representation of the foundation that God has laid for us here. What do we have in that foundation? Well, we learned it at the very beginning, what He has for us and what He's taught us. He's taught us wisdom. He's given us wisdom. He's given us instructions. He's given us perception. He's given us understanding. He's given us justice. He's given us judgment. He's given us equity. He's given us stability. He's given to us knowledge. He's given us the things that we need to establish our lives upon. He's given us discretion. Those are the foundations that God has laid for you and I. These are words that we've seen over and over and over and over again, and foundations that He's laid. So here's what He's saying. Wisdom and understanding, she, built together, says, I need to look at life from God's point of view and how I think of myself from God's point of view, how I think of others from God's point of view. I need to accept it and apply it. Just live by it. Make it a part of me. Make it a part of my pillars that hold me up. Make it a part of my life. So that I don't make decisions based upon the emotion of the moment, but I make it upon what I've learned already. Not what I've learned from the world, but what I've learned from God. And I apply His view to it, not my own view to it. I apply His strength to it, not my own strength to it. Not my understanding of it, but His understanding of it. Not my perception, not my plan, but His plan. Because those are the things that change our life. We're going to get a little more into that in just a moment. Then she has done everything that needs to be done. She's furnished everything. Everything's prepared. Everything's ready. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places, verse 3, of the city. What is she going to cry? Now she's going to notice there's a purpose here to having wisdom. Now she's going to call other people. When you and I start to live by wisdom and understanding and the precepts that God has laid for us, what we'll also be doing is gathering other people to us and teaching them the same truth. I need to teach my children this truth. I need to teach my grandchildren these truths. I need to teach my neighbors these truths. I need to teach my church family these truths. I need to teach my workers, my co-workers these truths. It's not just me. It's all about living in such a way that others are exposed to the truths that God has us. So here's her purpose. To reach the simple. Look in verse number 4. Who is simple? That means unpleaded. Remember, we've looked at that before. Someone who doesn't have all these things ironed out in their life. Maybe a new Christian. Maybe somebody that's never grown in their Christian life since they've been saved. Maybe a young person, maybe a teenager, maybe a young adult, that they haven't made the decisions in life that need to be made, and we need to make them wisely according to God's perspective, not our own. Verse 3 says, verse 4, so who is simple? Let him turn in hither. To where? To wisdom and understanding from God's point of view. So, we want to be able to reach these people. We want to make a difference. We want to reach those who have not made things set in their life. Let me give you some earmarks of simple people. Okay? They're naive about God's life. They're not naive about life. They're naive about God's life. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean the way God expects us to live. You know, I've met many Christians in my lifetime that know they're on their way to heaven, that read their Bible, but they're naive about the way God functions and the way God works. They may have gone to church for many years, maybe even deacons and Sunday school teachers and churches. They've got religion, but they don't have wisdom and understanding. They're naive about what God... trust the Lord during this time and say, I know that's what we're supposed to do. No, that's what we do, not what we're supposed to do. It's what we do. It's not something that, I know that this is the way I'm supposed to behave. No, this is behavior. This is the right behavior. This is the wrong behavior. That's how we teach our children, isn't it? Do this, don't do this. Behave this way, don't behave that way. Don't talk like this, talk like that. Don't throw a fit like this. If you disagree with something, respond like that. That's what we teach our children. We teach them the rights and the wrongs, the how-tos and not how-tos. So it becomes a part of their life, so when they become adults, they automatically respond correctly. So they're naive about life. They're naive about how to live their life. Well, many Christians are naive about living for Christ. We know the truth. It's like our children. It doesn't take long for them to figure out what's right and wrong. What makes mommy and daddy happy and what doesn't make mommy and daddy happy. But that doesn't mean they know how to control it. It takes time. They're still naive on how to apply it and how to live it. Well, that's how many Christians are. We know about God. We know He wants us to pray, but we just don't pray. We know He wants us to read His Word, but we just don't have the time. We know that He wants us to treat other people correctly, but then again, we fly off the handle and do what we want to do. Sometimes we're naive about these things. And so the earmarks are as simple as someone that's naive about life with God or God's life. Those that are easily influenced about God and God's life. That's a simple person. Someone who's easily influenced. It's easy to influence some people to do the right things. That just means that they're still simple yet. They're not pleaded in their life yet. That's not ironed into their life. That doesn't mean, listen, you can still be simple and be saved for a lot of years. Just because we have years of experience of the Christian life behind us as far as how long we've been saved doesn't make us a mature Christian. What makes us mature in Christ is by applying His truth and living by it. Sometimes we're like teenagers. We're between maturity and immature, and we jump back and forth between maturity and immaturity, between living for God and living it not for God. And I think many Christians live there. We're still not fully ironed in yet to those pleats that God has for us in our life. So they're easily influenced by God's lifestyle. When they hear the preaching of the truth, they know they're supposed to do the truth. They get excited about the truth. But when they walk away from church, or they're not listening to some preaching, or they don't have the Bible in front of them, then it's easier for them to fall away. That's somebody that's naive. Someone that's unpleaded in their life. I give you a third earmark of the simple. They're imitators of the scorner and of the fool at times. They're easily imitate the foolish or the scorner. And they get caught up in those things. They get caught up in the scorning of somebody. Some of the scorning we refer to today as gossip is really scorning somebody. Speaking against somebody. Attacking somebody. And really we call it gossip, but it's not really. It's being scornful, foolish in our behavior towards somebody else. And instead of looking for the good in people, we look for that which is the bad in people. That's somebody that's unpleaded. That's someone who's still simple. So we need to make ourselves listen to the calling of wisdom and understanding. That's what they're doing here. Verse 3, she has sent forth her maidens, and she crieth upon the high places of the city. So she's calling. Wisdom and understanding, they're calling us. They want us to come to them. Notice the order that's given. Verse number 5. Come eat of my bread. So the first thing that wisdom and understanding say to you and I is come. Come here. Come here. Here, let me show you something. Come here. I can't teach you something if you don't come to me. How many times have you as a parent called your child and then they don't come and you say, come here. Oh, no, come over here. I'm not going to hurt you. You're not in trouble. I just need you to come here. I need to teach you something. That's what wisdom and understanding are saying. We have a dog named Chrissy. Chrissy's been in our family, 5 years, maybe. She has stayed with my daughter Jennifer. She has stayed with us for a lot of years. My wife and I have her, and have had her now for a lot of years, and she'll die with us, or we'll die first. Somebody's going to die, she might kill us. But Chrissy's funny. We've had her for a lot of years, and she trusts us. But we go to pick. She'll come to want us to pick her up and put her up on a chair or up on the couch next to us so we can pet her or do something with her. And so we'll bend over to do it. Or maybe we're going to give her a treat, and we'll bend over to give her the treat, and she'll come, and then all of a sudden she'll dart away. Come here, Chrissy. It's okay. She'll come, and then boom, she darts away. And that's how many of us as Christians are. Wisdom and understanding are calling us, come here, come here, it's okay. And we know that if we'll just let God, everything is going to be okay. But all of a sudden, boom, right at the last moment, we dart away as if we're afraid of what God is going to do. Because it seems like out of fear she behaves that way, but she has nothing to fear. She's not in trouble. She's not going to be in trouble. We're going to pick her up. We're going to pet her. We're going to love on her. We're going to give her treats. We're going to do things with her. And she misses that because at the very moment when she's about to commit, she runs off. And that's the way, again, many of us as Christians are. God calls us. We hear wisdom and understanding, and we see the value of it. And right as we're about to give in and go in, boom, we run off. And God says, why do you do that? You know it's going to be okay when I got you in my arms. I always take care of you. I encourage you. I strengthen you. But we often, like the skittish dog, just take right off. So the first thing he says is come. And then look what it says in verse 5. Come eat of my bread. He wants us to eat of them. He wants us to digest this. He wants it to become a part of us. Come and eat what I have for you. Let it strengthen you. Let it become a part of you. Let it become a part of your life. Let me be your energy. Let me be your strength. Let me be for you what needs to nourish you. Because if our life is going to be what it should be, we need Him to nourish us. So He said, first come, then eat, and then drink in verse 5. Come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine, which I have mingled. In other words, the wine that I've prepared for you. We're not talking about an alcoholic beverage here. We're talking about a nourishing drink. And wisdom and understanding and all the things that God has prepared for us in the first 8 chapters does nothing but nourish us. If we'll drink it and let it become a part of us. If we'll consume it. Well, I love to drink cold water when I'm thirsty, don't you? And then I like to drink water, but you know, if I just drink plain water, I seem to get tired of it. I always like to put a little flavor in that water. Makes it taste a little tangier, made a little better, and I'll drink more of it. And God says, I got stuff for you to drink, and I prepared it for you, and I got it all mingled for you. So it'll taste good, and you'll enjoy it, and you'll keep on coming back for more. Then it says, verse number six, forsake the foolish and live. So he tells us to stop to do some things, forsake it. Look, listen, forsake the things of the world. Forsake everything we've learned of the world. Leave it aside. Walk away from it. Turn your back on it and get away from it. All it's going to do is hurt you. Because we learned in the last chapter, it's death if we continue along with it. And he says here, the next thing, he says it'll cause us to live. If we'll forsake it and grasp what He has prepared for us, wisdom and understanding and His view and His, we accept it and live by it, it gives you and I life. And truly, a good Christian life is what we're all after, isn't it? We're all after something that has great value and time to it. So He says, it gives you, forsake it and live. He has some wonderful things for us if we'll just do it right. Go in the way of understanding. So now he says to go. Forsake this and go over here. So walk away. So it's not to stop doing something. It's stop doing this and come and do this over here. So we're going to use our time. We're going to use our energies. It's just, what are we going to use them for? Are we going to use it for the foolish wisdom of the world? Or are we going to use our time and energy for the things of God? We are going to use the same time. It is going to go somewhere. And he says, you need to go in my direction. Because the world's direction doesn't give you life. So I want you to go forward. I want you to go someplace with this. and develop yourself. So forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. So I want you to walk in that way. The word way means road. Road, avenue. So I want you to walk this road. Go down this road. Versus going down the road of foolishness. Going down the road of the world. Listen, I can't tell you how many times in my lifetime I know I've created for myself more grief because I walked down the wrong road. And I've been warned. The Holy Spirit has warned me. And I forsook the warning of the Holy Spirit and forsook God's way and chose my way. And buddy, I've been burned every time. It's brought heartache. It's brought some kind of death. God says, if you'll forsake it and go down my direction, then you'll have life. And you won't have regrets. I wish I could say I have no regrets, but I would be a liar. I've had many regrets. Even during my years of being saved and walking with God, I've done many foolish and silly things because I walked down the wrong way. And His way is the way of understanding. Notice it's not a way of righteousness, it's the way of understanding. We've learned what that word understanding means. Wisdom and understanding come together. Understanding is to apply the view of God, comprehend it, and to accept it. So we just need to accept His way. That's the direction He wants you and I to walk in. The way of understanding. The next one is to ignore. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wise man getteth himself rebuketh a wicked man. I'm sorry, getteth himself a blot. So we need to ignore some things. We need to ignore the ignorant and foolish person. They're not going to listen to you and me anyway. So all we do is create more heartache, even for a Christian. Christians can be foolish and ignorant. We've learned that already. I know I've been down that road. You've been down that road. None of us have ever walked down that other road of understanding completely. We've all gone back and forth. But God says, listen, when you reprove a scorner, it causes contempt and disdain to follow. The word scorn means to contempt or disdain felt towards a person or an object considered despicable or unworthy. So when we try to correct the world in our own way without God correcting the world, they look at it as through disdain. Why does the world not like Christ? Why does the world... In John chapter 17 on Sunday we talked about Jesus praying. He says, I'm not of the world. The world doesn't want to have anything to do with me. And doesn't want to have anything to do with my children either. Those that I've kept and cared for. Why? Because they don't see things the way you and I see things. I was talking with a young man, an older man, I take that back, an older man, a little older, a year older than I am, who was a high priest in the Mormon church, and I won him to Christ, and he went to go talk to somebody, and he wanted to tell them the truth, and they tried to tell him, but they wouldn't listen. And he said, why won't they listen? That makes so much more sense what the Bible teaches. I said, it's true, it does. But right now, they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Their eyes have not been opened. They do not understand. So for you to preach at them about do this and do that and behave like this and do that, they're not going to understand any of that. Just like you didn't. Until you receive Christ as Savior. So the most important thing that we do then is lead people to Christ. And let the Lord change them. So many independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist preachers and people try to force people into a mold. You act this way, you talk this way, you walk this way, and if you're not this way, then you're not right with God. That's not the answer. The answer is to let Christ and the Holy Spirit work within somebody and allow God to change them from the inside out rather than us to force feed people to change from the outside in. Because you can have all the right words and you can act all the right ways and dress all the right ways and say amen in all the right places and be just as bad and just as terrible and just as wicked and just as foolish as anybody else in the world. Because it's not the outside that changes. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. It's the inside that changes. I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, hellfire and brimstone, fundamental preacher. I love the Word of God, but I'm not going to force it down anybody's throat. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm not going to force someone to get saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job to convince them and convict them of their need to be saved. It's the Holy Spirit's job to lead us and to teach us and to guide us. My job as a pastor is to present the truth from the Word of God, for folks to see the truth from the Word of God and follow the Word of God, not follow me. Yet most pastors and most people look at their pastors as a person that they're supposed to follow. But the person you're supposed to follow is Jesus Christ, not the pastor. We're supposed to follow the pastor as he follows Christ. But he's not our God. Jesus is our God. And we must follow him. Pastors are human. They're going to make mistakes. Just like you and I make mistakes. I've been a pastor for a lot of years. I've made a lot of mistakes. Praise the Lord people don't follow me because I'd surely lead them right to the pit. And I don't want to lead anybody there. I want to lead everyone to the Bible and let them go from the Bible to follow Christ. That's why it's so important we read our Bible every day. We've got to read our Bible every day. We've got to let the Holy Spirit guide us. We've got to let the Lord teach us His ways. We must have His wisdom. Yeah, I might teach you some things, and I may have done some word studies, and I may have spent a lot more time looking at things and studying them and bringing them to you so that we can understand them together. But the Holy Spirit has guided me in all that. And the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you and can teach you as much as He teaches me. And more. Because I'm probably a little bit more thick-headed and hard-headed than a lot of people. And a lot of folks can learn a lot of things from the Lord. If we'll just walk with Him. Talk with Him. Spend time with Him. So we need to ignore some things. We need to ignore the scorner. We need to ignore those who aren't wise. So, reprove not the scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, in verse 8, and he'll love thee. Someone who's wise and already trying to do the right thing, when things are settled down, you talk with them, and you provide the truth in the Word of God, they'll love you more because you provided that truth. Listen, I don't need to judge you. You don't need to judge me. It's not a matter of judgment. It's a matter of letting God use His Word to speak to the hearts of somebody else. I don't want you to change because I say you should change. I want to show you the Word of God and let the Word of God bring the change in your life that you need to have. That's what He's saying. We need to let the Holy Spirit do the work. So we need to search for some things. We need to search for the wise man. We need to look for those who yet want to be wise. Give instruction, verse 9, to the wise man and he will be yet wiser. So the more I try to walk down this road of wisdom, the more I teach a wise person, the wiser they become. The wiser I become. Listen, people have said to me sometimes, where have you learned all the things that you've learned? I learned them from other preachers and other teachers as they've showed me the Word of God. And they've taught me the Word of God. I've got to be preached to just as much as anybody else needs preaching to. But I've got to be in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit lead me and teach me and guide me just like anybody else does. It's all there for us if we're willing to accept it. And God has provided all the tools here for you and I. And He gives us wise men who are following down the wise road. That doesn't mean they're perfect. Nobody's perfect. No one's without error. And no one's without sin. But it doesn't mean that they're trying their best to follow the Word of God. That doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that they don't flub it up. Because we all make flubs. We all mess up. I wish I could say everybody gets 100% on everything when it comes to walking with God, and boy, everybody's perfect, but they're not. We can try hard and try hard and try hard. And I used to study like a crazy person and still miss one or two on a test. And I'd say, why did I miss that? I knew what the answer was supposed to be. I'm not a good test taker. But that doesn't mean I don't know some things. And sometimes when the tests of life come, I'm not such a good test taker. But that doesn't mean I don't know some things. And there's some things that I can impart to people, and there's things that people can impart to me. Because when we show wise people wiser things, that helps them. Give instruction to a wise man, and he shall be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he shall increase in learning. So we need to teach those that are just. Teach them what? This. Not what I think, what the Bible teaches. Just keep going back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. The Bible is the key to everything. Not man, not man's ways, God. His Word is inerrant. We find the wise men, we need to find the just man. And they will lead us to right, they will increase in learning and knowledge. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. So where does wisdom and knowledge come from? It comes from God. So we just need to keep coming back to this and keep coming back to this. Look in verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied and the years of thy life shall be increased. And it'll be worth living longer because we're going down the path of understanding. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scorneth, thou alone shall bear it. It affects us. So what he's saying here, or what wisdom and understanding are telling us as we wrap it up for tonight, wrap up this first section of the comparison, is what road we choose affects us individually. We got to change that road. Remember we talked about it a little while ago? That way, the way of what? Understanding. The way of wisdom and understanding, we walk down that way, it leads to life. If we don't walk down that way, we become a scorner, we become foolish, and we end up, it affects us personally. I got a message I've been trying to put together, I've been working on it for months, about how sin, small sin, one sin leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, which leads to another sin, and before you know it, all these barriers that you had built in your life start to fall down, and fall down, and fall down, and when you're going down this, it's like rolling down a hill, suddenly our whole life starts to fall apart, because, and we don't know why. Why did it suddenly happen? It's because we built upon this sin, and we built upon this sin, we built upon this sin, and without even realizing it, we destroyed our whole foundation, and now our whole house is falling. And that's what we're talking about here. This foundation is a foundation for young people, for young Christians, and those that are still unpleaded. I believe there's still parts of my life that are unpleaded. I'm not the wise man who has all the answers. I'm just a Christian that's growing in the grace and knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. I've met many Christians, and those whom I believe have been true wise men have never thought that they've arrived. They always think they're still growing. And they don't have all the answers. But they still all know who does. And that's our God. His Word. He'll take care of us if we'll trust Him. Next week we're going to look at the foolish side. The opposite side. The other woman that calls to humanity. The foolish woman. Father, thank you for what you've learned.